Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That was so bad. Celtics back in action tonight. It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. That loss was so bad that you almost wondered, like, what else was going on there? And I think we maybe have a little behind-the-scenes insight.
Oh.
As to why the Celtics look so, what did Porzingis say? No personality out
there? Yes.
We have no personality out there.
Again, not what
Drago
he
Drago like. Porzingis.
That's basically it.
I must break myself.
Ivan Porzingis. It was, Toronto is famous for having a big nightlife. It's considered a pretty fun place to hang out.
So are a lot of places that these NBA players go to.
Absolutely. There were some young women in the crowd. Put it that way.
Attractive.
There is a video shot by some guy who was in the stands at this game, at this Raptors Celtics game up there in Toronto. And he's sitting behind, like in the corner, right? So he's looking down at the bench, and then he can look over to on the right, and then if he looks over on the left, his perspective sees behind the basket. And behind the basket, there's like three girls, and you don't actually even ever see their faces. But you can see them, they get up and they start walking to the vestibule concourse or whatever. And Jason Tatum is locked in.
Locked in.
Transfixed.
Just sitting there like...
Like your son watching Tate
McRae. Exactly.
Tate McRae.
Yeah, Tate McMillan is somebody else. But yeah.
Is Brian here today? Is Brian running
Twitch?
Yeah,
he's back there. He was the one who unearthed this little scandal.
He's the one who found all this.
Escandalo.
So I feel like, Brian, if you want to throw that video up there for our Twitch audience, that's fine. Jason Tatum is locked in. And apparently, the whole team was out clubbing in Toronto the night before. And there's been instances of this before. I remember very famously Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown getting into a shoving match on the sideline. I think it was in Orlando. They were down there playing the Magic in the Heat and probably going out and partying while they were down there, which obviously, I mean, listen, a bunch of young guys in their 20s in Miami. Here's the video. Jason Tatum, not blinking, just like a cat staring out a window at these lovely young Canadian, I assume, Canadian ladies who are getting up and walking around. Listen, you're a young, famous 6'10" basketball player. You're going to be looking around. I don't blame him for doing that. I don't blame anybody for doing anything like that.
If you're a middle-aged, married radio host who's short, you also look around.
It's true.
We're called men. We all do it.
Just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
There are
exactly.
People like that coming to watch us do our show, I guess, is the difference. Like,
that is the difference.
You know, they're not paying $100 to sit in a chair and watch us do the show like they are paying to watch Jason Tatum come out and play basketball and so forth.
And
however,
if they catch Jason Tatum looking at him, they probably go, hey. If they catch us looking at him, they go, what the hell are you looking at?
They're calling the police. Basically. Creep. Something like that. I thought we were past this with these guys. Like, you know, I thought there was sort of... That I didn't really think about that coming up and being a problem anymore. And I'm not saying it's a major problem for this team. And I'm not even saying that's 100% the reason why they lost in Toronto. They had a bad game, but Jaylen Brown looked like he was moving a little slow. Jaylen Brown looked like he was working off something, I'd say.
Can I spin zone this?
Go ahead.
I like it. This is a good thing. Now I know why my guy looked like crap. There was a legitimate reason. So here's an idea. Stop going out and spending all your energy and being hungover before games. I actually think this, in a legit way,
is better that we might have a reason. Now, I would ask, did they also go out in the other seven losses that have piled up in the last month and a half or whatever?
Good question.
You know what I mean? So this is a one-off excuse for why they played a really bad game. And for my guy in particular, Jaylen Brown, I think that's a good thing. Overall, I actually think this blends into, are they not locked in? Do they not really care about this season? Are they complacent? Like, where's the leadership?
They were out clubbing in Oklahoma City, I think, the other night. That was one of their losses. I can't even imagine. Are there any clubs in Oklahoma City?
I'm sure there are.
There's got to be at least one, right?
I'm sure there are.
Everybody gets out in like square dances or something. Like, it's probably what the clubs in OKC are
It's funny. You bring this up, and I can't find it now, but there was a survey that made its way across like Boston.com where Boston was voted to have the best nightlife in like the country. And it was some
Boston, Massachusetts.
It was some weird formula that combined the number of star restaurants versus something versus something, and then you blended it all. It's why analytics are stupid. It was basically an analytical approach to nightlife.
Yeah, the big issue being, of course, that all the bars close at one. So I mean, that's gonna take you out of the running for like first overall. Yeah, they got good restaurants in Boston, sure, and there's fun bars, and I don't know, there's probably good clubs. I've never been to any of them, but I'm sure there's good clubs out there down in the Seaport. I know there's that one place everyone goes, Royale or whatever. Like that's a hot spot. People used to go out clubbing in the Theater District. I don't know if they still do anymore, but when I used to bartend down there, that's where, you know, if people were going to a club, they'd go to some place like that. But I don't know what the scene's like with that anymore. I have no idea.
So
I'm way out of that game.
Does this bother you more or less if they went out and had a bad game?
It bothers me a little more, I think. You know, you're having a tough stretch here. Focus on the game. Focus on winning. What are you going out partying
planned?
Too much? If it was planned, fine.
What it was like, you know that trip plans. To Toronto? How about that's a big team bonding night? Because that's all you have to do is call it team bonding and it's your excuse, right?
Sure.
Like, we went out team bonding, coach.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when they got there. Their game against New Orleans was on Sunday, and then they played Toronto on Wednesday. So I don't know when they got there. If they got there Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or what exactly the whole travel process was like. But they had time. You know, if they wanted to do some team bonding, they could do it wherever they want. They don't have to do it the night before the game, and they don't have to do it so hard that they're sluggish and ineffective the next game over a team they beat by 50 points a week ago. That's all.
We're also making some bold assumptions and extrapolations.
Major bold assumptions.
One photo, one video, one couple social media posts. I mean, we've learned this week. We first had Drake May in Cancun, didn't we? Then he was actually in the Grand Caymans.
Mm-hmm.
So we had him dead and his head going to be in a bag with the mafia in
you
Mexico.
Had that.
Yeah. Then I find out he's at a ritzy. Next I saw it was like $1,900 a night where he was staying. His room was $1,900 a night or something like that. So he was doing okay. So sometimes we jump to conclusions.
$1,900 a night, however much he paid for the engagement ring. That's an expensive trip.
Plus, I bet you the roses that were all poked in the sand and that setup was not, it was probably like a engagement package that he had to add on to
the probably a 20 grand trip on it altogether.
I think he's fine.
More than that. Yeah, maybe 30
I think
grand.
He'll be okay.
30, 40.
Depends
what kind of ring. I mean, you know, they say you're supposed to do 3 months salary. 3 months salary for him, it's a big ring.
Yeah, but does that hold true for like athletes?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, The Rock makes 25 a movie. So if he does three movies in a like, is he supposed to buy a $25 million ring to get engaged?
Yes. That's what you're supposed to do.
I was also supposed to get an engagement gift. Did you get a gift when you got engaged? I forgot what they call it, but you get like a gift. Like it's a thing for some people. The men get a
Cindy
gift.
Cindy got me a wedding gift. I don't know if there was an engagement gift. I didn't get
an engagement gift.
I don't think there was.
I wanted a jet ski. I'm still waiting.
So for my wedding gift, she got me an autographed framed Larry Bird jersey.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was my wedding. That was pretty cool. It's up in my basement right now.
Nice.
It's my, like, prized possession.
Wow.
So, yeah, there was that. I had to get her something that cost a little more, unfortunately. But, yeah, it was. It's all about the give and take. I wanted it. Like, that's more valuable to me than what I got for her, you know? Like, she wanted what I got her. I'm not going to say what it was, but she really wanted it. But not as much as I wanted the Larry Bird jersey. Like, I wanted that more than I think she wanted the gift I gave her.
Okay. It's a give and take.
If that tells you something.
We give, they take.
Yeah. Mostly, yeah. anyway, Celtics tonight taking on the Orlando Magic.
You feeling good?
Shorthanded Orlando Magic team. No Suggs. Wagner's out. I think Banchero's back. So
back.
That it's someone to keep an eye on. And I do think Orlando's a scrappy little team. If they lose to this Magic team, even with Banchero playing, and he can go off.
Didn't
go
they
off
lose
for 50
to him
points.
Already?
Yeah. Yes, they did. But that was with Wagner playing and Suggs playing. So
sometimes the details are starting to feel like they don't matter with this team. And I mean this team, the Celtics.
Mm.
Like, again, I'll say it. The latest argument of why they're struggling is they're too talented and they have all their starters playing together.
that's a problem.
Yeah. Yes, by the way, I was wrong. Right. Wagner didn't play in that game. Tristan Da Silva beat him in that game that they lost earlier. So you're right. Okay, sorry. Suggs played. Wagner didn't. And Banchero certainly didn't. So, yeah, they could lose this game, absolutely.
Oh, by the way, I put out another famous Andy Hart poll of the day on my Twitter account.
You brought your poll to work again.
Yeah, I brought my poll to work, and I said...
Your friends at Northeast Men's Health.
Yes. Brought to you by friends at Northeast Men's Health.
There you go.
Simple question, Boston fans. Are you worried about the Celtics and the way they are playing? Do you have a prediction?
I'm going to say it's Celtics fans, so they are very optimistic. I'm going to say 65-35, yes, worried.
54-46, yes, worried.
Okay, it's closer than I thought, but I was right about the optimism.
Yeah.
You know, because any fan of any team, a good team, should be concerned and not happy about what you're seeing here over this last month. And the fact that Celtics are only 54 worried about it tells you how pie-eyed, optimistic green teamers are for the most part.
And I get it. I think they are being given the benefit of the doubt they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
They are a defending champion. I listened to Terp with Jones and Keith the other day, and he was talking about he was bringing some of the numbers and the years after teams won titles and a little bit of regression and different things. It's normal. And just the reality is the NBA used to be all about repeating.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't. And it hasn't been. And this is the new thing. And I don't know, you know, if we can jump forward from here to say that, but you can't like the way they're playing. All I remember is us at the Garden talking about, like, undefeated this. They're going to win all these awards. You said they were the greatest Celtic team of all time. Stiz, can I update one of the questions you asked me?
What?
Stiz asked me a question earlier about you, about your takes.
Okay.
And your worst take ever. And this one is going down that road, calling this the best Celtics team of all time.
Did I say for sure that they were the best there, that they could be?
Could be was probably
could be. It sounds more like me. But yeah, either way, it's not looking great right now. That's for sure.
I can tell you that. It is not.
You thought they weren't going to lose a single home game, so...
Unfortunately,
I don't know what you're getting that my case.
They've lost seven.
Yeah, they've lost a bunch. And that was kind of a dubious prediction anyway.
Actually, if they lose, so we're about at the halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
So they could lose basically 14 games at home.
Yeah.
After losing four last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, this team stinks right now.
They're on pace.
Maybe get your ass on the court and shoot around, not in a club getting
They're 22-7. They're on pace for.
They're shooting 40... shots, but it ain't baskets.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, listen, I mean, I don't know exactly the solution here or if Joe Mazzulla has to upend the way he coaches the team or whatever it is. I don't think any of that's happening, and I don't think that this team is a paper tiger. Like, I do think they're talented enough and good enough that they can win another championship this year. Like, I think everybody sort of agrees with that. Also, nice game by Cleveland last night. Holy crap. They got smoked. Oklahoma City, they just mopped them up like they weren't even there.
Ran them right out of town.
Yeah, that game was over in the second quarter.
Oklahoma City, dangerous.
Yeah.
Celtics right now don't feel dangerous. And I know this is recency bias.
You know why OKC's dangerous? Because there's no clubs. There's no clubs in Oklahoma. That's why.
Got one thing to focus
no
on.
No distractions.
Basketball.
Just a bunch of farmers and, you know, flat land, and that's it. That's all you got.
On that topic, quickly, the first thing that came up when I Googled Oklahoma City nightclubs was the Coyote Ugly Saloon.
Wow. Coyote Ugly.
That's the options that you have
with
to pick
Tyra
from.
Banks dancing on the bar?
Yeah.
Something
and
like that.
That blonde, what was the blonde girl's name in that movie? She was good.
Easy Tatum.
I forget what her name is. I'm trying to remember her name. And
you
she's
could,
not.
You could remember less creepily.
She's not 21 like Tate McRae, who I was talking about the other day.
What was her name?
What was her name? Hold on. Now I'm looking it up. Coyote Ugly, starring. You can talk
Banks.
While I'm doing this. Piper Perabo, that was her name. Piper
Who's
Perabo.
Piper Perabo?
She was the protagonist of the 2000 comedy/musical Coyote Ugly, along with Tyra Banks.
Oh, there she is.
Maria Bello was in it. Bridget Moynihan.
You like Piper?
I like Piper. I liked Piper in that movie. I don't know what she looks like now.
I'm going to tell you, she doesn't look great in some of the photos I'm seeing.
That was also, 25 years ago? I mean, that movie's been out
for
a while.
She looks pretty good in some photos.
You're Piper? Right.
I don't even know her. Barely know her. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Well, we just did. Mike Giardi is going to be joining the show.
Yes.
Andy Hart's very excited about that. Andy, nobody likes Mike Giardi as much as Andy Hart. I mean, it's not even.
It's probably true. He's
not
my
even
guy.
Close. We'll
good
also
smelling,
get in,
good information, good everything.
Good smelling.
You didn't know he's one of the best smelling men in Boston sports media?
I've not gotten that close enough to him as you, I guess.
Oh. Well, Have you done like audio? Did you ever do audio where you had to get audio in like the scrums in front of a?
Not a lot, but I've done a little bit of that.
Some people smell awful. Mm-hmm. You get in those groups. And I will say that now that we're a younger media corps, there was a time there was some old, heavy, stinky, gross reporters.
Right.
You get behind Mike Giardi, you're like, oh, that's nice.
You like that.
You would like him, Stiz, because he often smells of like vanilla cream or like strawberry pie.
Don't turn this on,
Stiz. I'm a big scent guy.
You realize this is the person who just called me creepy for saying Piper Perabo is attractive is now lusting after Mike Giardi and his scent.
That's what I'm saying. Don't turn this on, Stiz. I mean, this is you and you alone.
This is quite comfortable with who I am.
Name names,
clearly you are.
Name names. Who stunk?
About the smelly ones.
Yeah, who stunk?
That was the old days. We don't need to go there. Some of them might be dead. God rest their soul.
Okay. Well, I just turned dark. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's take a call here. Tyler is in Salem. Hi, Taylor. Tyler, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
I really do think I'm actually very concerned with the Celtics. They're struggling on the offensive end. They're struggling shooting threes. Like, and someone brought it up this morning, actually, that they're in a little bit of a financial buckle with Jaylen Brown and how he's might be traded, whatever. That's just not from the Celtics, but that's just from
Dakota and Braintree, I think, right? Tyler, thanks for the call. I think Dakota and Braintree was talking about that, and I think they had him on the morning show today. It was like a guest, right? Wasn't Dakota on the show as a guest?
Yeah, he was.
Like Celtics insider Dakota from Braintree?
And what's his report?
Who I've met, by the way, and I think is a very nice guy, but I didn't know he was a Celtics insider. He was saying that the Celtics and the new owners, whoever that's going to be, that the sale is now being discussed and that whoever the new owners are going to want to do something with these contracts because they're so far over the luxury tax and in the second apron, and that could mean Jaylen Brown gets traded.
Oh, well, I think it could be. I mean, I think that's logical speculation. You have two stars.
Mm-hmm.
You have two massive contracts.
I may have just bastardized what he said. I didn't hear the entire hit today, but I think that was the gist of it.
Well, they're not going to trade Tatum. Everybody loves Tatum.
Right.
So JB is going to be the one that has
especially
to go.
Especially the ladies in Canada.
Well, we don't know that. We know he loves the ladies in Canada. Mm-hmm.
They probably like
their
him.
Their back was turned to him.
That's true.
That's why he kept staring. He was waiting and waiting for them to make eye contact, and they never turned around. But no, I could see.
He's passing him a note like, do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
One of those. Check yes or no, right?
Yeah.
George Strait, baby. Mm-hmm. We learned that yesterday.
One of those. Stiz not listening.
Stiz not listening.
That's okay.
One bit. He was scratching his head like a gorilla back there. Like,
Stiz, go back to sleep. It's okay. 617-779-7937. ESPN put out their top 100 MVP candidates. Most valuable players. 1 through 100 in the entire NFL. There is a Patriot on it. Who it is might surprise
you. Get out of here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Christian Gonzalez, one of the lone bright spots for the Patriots this season. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hartz, WEEI Afternoons. And why play a Christian Gonzalez highlight? I'll tell you why we played a Christian Gonzalez highlight. It's not just because I like athletes named Christian. I do, except for you. This is because ESPN put out their top 100 rankings of MVP candidates, the top 100 most valuable players in the NFL. This list goes about how you'd think it would in terms of it being very quarterback heavy, especially at the top. Here's the top 10. You tell me if you disagree with any of these. Josh Allen, number one.
No, I love it.
Most valuable player in the league. Lamar Jackson, number two.
Sounds good.
I think we're good there, just one and two. How about Joe Burrow, number three?
Okay. I can accept it.
Without him, that team's picking in the lottery.
Without him, they don't make the playoffs. Oh, wait, they didn't make the playoffs.
Well, you know, now that I say it, if there was a lesser quarterback thrown to those receivers, would they be much worse? They'd be much worse.
I mean, he had great
Like, if
numbers.
Sam Darnold was throwing to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, we saw him throwing to Jefferson and Addison, right. And he looked like a stud, and we know that Darnold's not that good. Like,
if he was on the Bengals, he'd look, you know what I mean? Like, I think
I love Joe Burrow.
I love him too. I just don't know how valuable he is.
I can make an argument that he's too high on that list.
I'd say he is. Patrick Mahomes, number four. Justin Herbert, number five.
I think somebody's being pushed down a little too far here.
Jared Goff, number six.
Still too far.
I didn't even do this one. Jaden Daniels is number four, not Mahomes. Mahomes is five. Jaden Daniels was four. I'd agree with that. I think he's very, very valuable.
I think you can argue he's higher.
I'd put him up there.
Ahead of Burrow?
I'd put him ahead of Burrow.
A rookie who changed the culture, got his team to the playoffs. I know this doesn't matter, but won a playoff game. Like, that whole thing, that's a pretty impressive
resume. Winning a playoff
game
doesn't matter?
To this, not to MVP.
Oh, right.
MVP is a regular season award.
Yes. So then there was Herbert, Goff, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Baker Mayfield. There's the top ten.
Where is Saquon?
Oh, good question. Where is Saquon? Saquon
should be higher.
Is not 11, 12. He's below Lane Johnson. He's 22nd. Saquon Barkley, 22nd behind Derrick Henry.
Whose list is this?
And just ahead of Zach Bond, the linebacker for the Eagles. This is a list by Seth Walder. I barely know her. ESPN.
I don't want to know her. That's a terrible list.
Eh.
Based on that. He's behind Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
How?
Well, this is the way he did it. He says, value represents the difference between a player and an average starter at the player's position. That means a QB1 will be ranked ahead of a TE1, a tight end, because the difference between the best and average quarterback is bigger than the difference between best and average tight end. It also caps the quarterback starters to half the league. To create the rankings, I ranked players by position and slotted them into an overall list. I leaned on a wide variety of quantitative metrics like win rates, receiver tracking metrics, coverage data, EPA measures, and stuff like that. I also used my own analysis. All pro teams, PFF grades were all considered too. So that's how he came up.
None of that tells me why Saquon Barkley's so low.
Yeah, he is.
Saquon Barkley should be high.
He should be higher, but also there's a lot of good players on that team. There's two star
wide receivers. Derrick Henry is somehow higher, and he's with the number two MVP. You can't argue Jalen Hurts is great. I would argue Jalen Hurts stinks. I think Jalen Hurts has quickly gone down the road of one of the most overrated players in football. You know what he does really well? Falls forward when people push him in the bum.
Yeah.
And picks up a yard. The rest of it is questionable. Saquon Barkley is the reason that team is really good. Saquon Barkley is the centerpiece of that offense. I get that A.J. Brown and Devonta, they're all good. But I would argue there's good talent on some of these other teams. Like, when you said Joe Burrow 3, that's when I was starting to listen when you were going to say Saquon.
Right.
And what number did you say?
He's 22. And Derrick Henry's 21. And those guys have very similar numbers, so I'm not surprised they're next to each other, but that's where the running backs are.
There's 21 players that are more valuable than Saquon Barkley this year?
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid.
Some of them are Pat Surtain, Micah Parsons, A.J. Brown, Tristan Wirfs, Chris Jones, Lane Johnson, Jalen Hurts, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Kyler Murray.
Jalen Hurts is more valuable than Saquon?
Mm-hmm.
No. Just flat out no. That's not allowed.
Whoa.
sorry. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with this, but it sounds more like the positional value of the running back is just not being valued by this guy's.
It sounds like that.
I know,
to
but
me
he
too.
Said something about the player compared to the average player at the position.
Right.
I think Jalen Hurts is trending toward being the average player at the position.
Could be. I mean, yeah.
And yet he's ahead of Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is nothing like the average player at the position.
Yes. There was one Patriot on the list. That was Christian Gonzalez down at number 63. Drake May, not on the list at all.
And he shouldn't be. And I'm a big Drake May fan, but it's hard to argue when you... I know he had 3 wins, but he really kind of had 1 win, that you're the most valuable player of anything.
Right. Tough to make
if
a big MVP.
If you don't win, how
for that
can you
one,
be
for
valuable?
That 1 win, he was very valuable.
Right.
Joining us right now here on the phone from Boston Sports Journal, your friend and mine, one more time here with me, Mr. Mike Giardi.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
Joined by...
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Christian Arcand.
You know it if you see it. It's like porn.
And Andy Hart.
You bat right-handed, you bat right-handed.
This is a crap transition.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Yes, that's right. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, who I believe just finished filing a no contact order on Andy Hart.
after that little outburst about how good you smell. And also, you're going to have to change that intro. I'm in that intro. You guys are going to have to change that.
Oh, yeah, we'll cut it
out. You're going to have to cut me right out, put Ted in there and Fitzy in there. As Mike, I'm sure you know, I'm going to be moving the nights next week. So this is our last conversation for a while, so we better make it a good one. Let's start by how much of a creep Andy is. Did you know that he was so into the way that you smell? Because I knew that he liked it. I didn't know he liked you like that.
So nasty. he's told me that before. Other people have commented on it. I think really what it comes down to is generally, as a crew, the beat on the Patriots tends to be a little stinky, and I'm not stinky. I shower. I do the proper hygiene, brush my teeth, those sorts of things. I don't know that everybody does it down there, so I think I can understand why he leans in that direction.
Well, don't sell yourself short. You also use, like, key lime pie lotion or something. There's something that puts you over the top and makes you smell like a Bath and Body Works.
I have no comment on that.
Wait, do you have a comment on this? So my buddy Christian here just brought up a list from ESPN, Seth Walder fella, who has this ESPN MVP ranking. Saquon Barkley is 22nd. Thoughts?
He's out of his mind.
Thank you.
Like, that whole offense this year has been about him more than anything. Jalen Hurts, I heard you just as I was coming on, Jalen Hurts has really regressed. 2 years ago, going into that opener against the Patriots, I thought to myself, this guy is going to be a top-five quarterback. And then the Patriot players were kind of like, you might want to watch more. And then they kind of held him in check that game. They lost the game, but they did a nice job on him. And, like, since then, it's been a lot of ifs from him, Like, he threw for 134 yards or 154 yards in a playoff game. Like, he's got two elite receivers and a tight end who's outstanding, and he can't get on the football. Like, Saquon Barkley has been the driving force behind that offense all year long.
Are they going to the Super Bowl?
They are the most talented team, I think, still standing.
Can you say that with a period on the end, not a question mark?
No, that was definitely a Ron Burgundy. they are. I just worry about the quarterback. Like, I think he's going to have to play better, and it's been a lot of just. You go back and look at his game log, but then, like, you go look at some of the advanced stuff, too, if you're into the nerd numbers, and it's like, he hasn't been very good. They've kind of been really good this year in spite of him, not because of him.
All right, Mike, let's get to the Patriots. I'm a little worried, and I don't know if you heard the open here, but I'm a little worried that this offseason is starting to resemble last offseason in the sense that they're going real quick with the head coach search. Now they're dragging on the offensive coordinator search a little bit, and there may be different reasons for that. And they have a bunch of guys with sort of vague, ill-defined roles, and I just feel like there's a lot of the same issues that were present last year, although with a different cast of characters. Is that fair to say to you? Are you noticing any parallels like that too?
I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from. The big difference here is that this is all going to run through Mike. And last year it was running through a bunch of different people at a bunch of different levels. And that's hard to, especially when you're throwing all those guys together, essentially working in those roles for the first time. He's the established head coach. I think he's going to be the established talent picker on a lot of different levels and has his guy, Ryan Cowden, already in the building doing work there. So to me, that's where I think there's a major divide where Mike knows what he wants, and I think he knows how to get it. So last year, I don't think they had any idea what they wanted or how to get it. And then when they got it, they couldn't coach it. So it was just a whole cluster, and this shouldn't be that way. And if we are talking at this point next year or at some point during the season, then you're going, well, they're not making any improvements or not, then maybe we have something to talk about. But at this point, that's where I kind of split on it.
Mike, I asked Schefter on Wednesday to handicap the offensive coordinator search.
Ooh, I asked Schefter. Ooh.
Brag. And the only name he brought up was Josh McDaniels, which is a name I brought up like 2 months ago. Is it?
Brag.
That was
brag
an actual
City
brag.
Over here.
That was a double brag, yeah.
That was a brag, and is this a bag job yet again for the offensive coordinator position?
I don't think it is.
Oh,
sort of. The more I kind of dig into it, I think he's definitely in the mix. But I think there are other places that Mike might want to look first, and we'll see. You know, the interesting part about it is, and one thing that I'm really curious about how this all plays out is, has you coached the quarterback or have you not coached the quarterback, and does that matter to Mike? And I think when you have your clear
centerpiece of your franchise on offense is the rookie quarterback heading into his second year. We saw the job that Alex did with him, maybe not from a play caller standpoint, but from helping him develop. You want to continue that trend, and I think the offensive coordinator has to be heavily involved. And that's where, when you bring up Josh's name, that's where you say, look, like, Josh does have a good track record of this. He got Jimmy Garoppolo ready to play. He got Jacoby Brissett ready to play. He got Matt Castle ready to play. Like, he did some he devised an offense with a quarterback who couldn't throw in Cam Newton. And while they were still terrible that year, they had moments, you know, where oh, he cobbled together something with a guy who can't throw the ball more than 8 yards down the field. So he does have that going for him, and I'm really curious when we start to get maybe a deeper look at some of the names that are being brought in and talked to, who has that experience with the coach, with the quarterbacks, and who doesn't.
So who are those names? I know there's been a lot thrown out there, and then Tommy Rees has been removed, and now Josh McCown has seemingly been removed. Who are two or three other names that you think are legitimate candidates to be the offensive coordinator?
Charles London is one, and Dave Ragone, or the Big Ragu, he's another. Coach quarterbacks, has been an offensive coordinator in a previous point in his career. London, obviously, our guy Tom Curran did a deep dive on him and sort of his background with the Patriots back in the day, being an operations manager, and now he's sort of ascended a little bit up the food chain here, and maybe becomes an offensive coordinator. Those are two. Nick Cayley's a name that I think is going to get brought up again. Now, he doesn't have the quarterback coaching experience, but his role expanded with the Rams this year, and he did spend more time with the quarterback. So maybe that's a check mark that now goes in his direction in his box there, as he checks it off and says, well, I did spend time with Garoppolo and Stafford and Stetson Bennett, and did help sort of implement the passing game with the Rams this year. So I think those are three that sort of stand out to me at the moment.
We're talking with Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Mike, after Mike Vrabel, the second most important person in this organization right now is Drake May. I think we all agree with that, right? I mean, he's a player, but he's the most important guy, most important player on the team. Is he going to have any input in this offensive coordinator search, do you think? Especially when it comes to the matter of Alex Van Pelt and keeping him around. Do you think that he'll have any influence on that? I know he's on vacation now, getting engaged and everything, but is that something that you think he'll be kind of brought into the fold with?
I think they'll talk to him because they won't want to alienate him, but I don't know how much sway he's going to have after just, 11, 12 starts in his rookie year, whatever the number is. Mike's not stupid. They'll have a conversation, but Mike's going to hire who Mike wants to hire. I think the other thing I would say about the Van Pelt thing, and we talked about a number of times here, if anybody was going to come back, he would be one I want to bring back. And I've had people ask me, well, would he take the quarterback coaching job? I don't know. Has Jonathan Kraft come and talked to him yet about just ripping him on national television, as we saw, and sort of like they never had that conversation, as Alex told us the week after that became public in the Cardinals game. Like, okay, if you have a problem with me, wouldn't you come down and talk to me? So I don't know. Like, Alex is going to have a choice of jobs. Like, someone will hire him to be the quarterback's coach, or maybe he becomes the offensive coordinator, doesn't call plays again or whatever. He's got enough friends around the league and enough respect that he can have that. Does he feel like he gets the respect here, and will he get it from the owner? Obviously they hadn't talked, and he was apparently telling people after the last game, oh, I'm going to be fired, that, he kind of had a sense that this was over.
Some of this will probably trend and depend on who they hire as the defensive coordinator. But for those of us who may not be totally tied into what Mike Vrabel did in Tennessee, did they run a defense that was similar to the New England scheme? Did it have its roots in New England? What was that like in Tennessee? And do you expect this will be a system that has some carryover?
So he's the adaptable guy. He's the sort of the game plan guy. We look at the team this week and we're going to play him this way. And then next week we might not look the same way because we have the ability to morph. And I think it was one of the big points he made in talking to us in the press conference about, like, we want our players to be able to play fast. So we don't want to bog them down with too much stuff. And he was kind of talking offense, but in general, that's his vibe is like, if you guys can show that we can be a versatile team and we can be interchangeable parts and do these different things, we're going to do it because that gives us an advantage. I think he definitely buys into, you want to call that the Belichick, those roots, I think he believes in, of like, hey, we're not going to just sit there and say, this is what we play, unless that's all you can play. You know what I mean? So
I think that's going to be a key for them to see if they can pick up, be interchangeable pieces and parts and move as the year goes along.
That is the voice of noted shower taker and deodorant user Mike Giardi.
You can smell it through the radio.
Boston Sports Journal. Mike, it's been great talking with you these last couple of weeks. Moving the night, so if you ever want to call on the night show, we'll keep a line open for you, okay?
He keeps begging for guests.
I need all the help I can get.
No. I'm going to miss Arcan. Stiz is depressed. When Stiz got me on the phone, he was just like, you could tell he's very sad.
You can hear it. You can hear it in my voice.
Stiz is my guy. Yeah.
He's going to cry.
Yep. And Arcan, anytime you need me, you let me know.
All right. Sounds good. That's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Mike.
I
think all these people are telling the truth. Curran's like, yeah, anytime you need me, give me a call. Giardi, give me a call.
I'm just putting them on the spot and making it awkward, and they're being nice about it is what's happening. That's
and then
exactly
when you call at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, it's just going to ring.
I'm not even going to call any of these people. No, I know they're not going to do the show. They're not going to come
hey,
by.
Hey, Joe, can you get Giardi on the phone for Thursday night?
And they're going to be like, no, obviously not. I'm not doing that show. That's fine. I have my own people. I'll bring in my own people like Mike Vrabel.
People.
Oh, yeah. I got my own people coming.
Wow.
No problem.
Look at you.
No problem.
Didn't know you had peeps.
I got people.
4 hours with Arcan and Scal.
That is right. Scal be my number one
noted
guy. We got
heads.
A lot of people. They're going to be.
They'll say we all night long.
Which it's true. Which I'm very excited about. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. There's been some talk in the NFL about reseeding the playoffs next year and doing it totally differently. We'll get into that. How you feel about it? Yay or nay? Next. The divisional doink heard around the world. It's Christian Arcan. It's Andy Hart. Division weekend's coming up. I'm excited. I love division weekend. I like it even more than Wild Card Weekend. And this Wild Card Weekend
sucked.
Was not very good. So maybe I'm just projecting, hoping that this is going to be a better round of playoffs. I think it has to be, right? Baltimore-Buffalo, in and of itself, it's got to be a good game, right? There's no way it's not going to be a good game. I think Rams-Eagles will be a good game, too.
Hope so.
I think that there's a chance for KC to blow out Houston. I think there's a chance Detroit blows out Washington, too. But I think you're going to get at least two very good games this weekend.
I like all four. I really do. For whatever reason, talked myself into Houston has a puncher's chance against Kansas City, mostly because everybody's kind of had a puncher's chance against them all
right,
year.
But then they lose.
You can't land the punch. No one's landed the punch they've needed. The Buffalo one, I don't see how that can be bad. It's going to be 0 degrees. It's a blizzard.
Yeah.
Lamar's going to have his scuba snorkel hood on.
The frog suit? Yeah.
Yeah, they both can run, and it's not like they're these precision passing attacks where you're like, oh, that's going to get ruined because they're not. They both are Northeast teams with great quarterbacks that can run and make plays in the snow. You know, Allen has a great arm. We've seen he can throw in any condition. I'm very excited for that game.
The NFL... This is their fifth year of the 14-team playoff bracket, right?
Yeah.
That's only been going on not very long.
Yep.
The league's decision to expand the playoffs from 12 to 14 was designed to generate more money. However, five seasons of wild card rounds under the belt, people are wondering, could you maybe make some more changes? Could there maybe be some more changes on the horizon here for the NFL? We just heard Commissioner Roger Goodell talking about, the 18-game season, that's definitely coming, which, again... You're the NFL. You're so far ahead of every other sports league, and you're adding another game. Like, just I find that whole thing to be pretty ridiculous. I thought going to 17 was ridiculous in and of itself. But going to 18 now, I mean, that's the way it is. That's the way they're going to do it. Nothing's going to stop them. Eventually, you're going to have 18-game seasons. But I think that there's a real chance here now with the expanded playoff that they're going to start changing up how they do this. Now, you were hot on this a little more than I was. What do you think about these proposed changes, and can you explain what some of them are?
So, I don't think it's broken necessarily. It's a Bill Barnwell story, so it's long.
Right.
It's basically the one seeds are still in this short sample doing the same things they did, because a lot of people thought when you went from two byes to one,
right,
that was just this massive advantage, but I guess it's not really playing out that way.
They're
just
talking
yet.
About going back to 12. They're talking about going to 16.
I hate 16.
Yeah.
16 can come when you do your European expansion to 36 teams.
Mm-hmm.
When you have more I don't want to go to half the teams make the playoffs. I already think we've seen some of these crappy teams.
Once the London Silly Nannies join the NFL.
Absolutely.
You
can add playoff teams if you want. But the teams like the Patriots, the Broncos, they're fodder.
They're not really contenders. We're not seeing a lot of upsets from the 7 seed or anything like that.
Right.
So I don't
7 seed gets smoked like
right.
every year.
So yeah. I don't want to add an 8 seed.
Yeah.
I don't want to see another team
maybe
in there.
Maybe better for the 7 seed, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. But I don't want that. Barnwell, one of his proposals, there's a lot of proposals. There's always been the proposal that division winner doesn't get you guaranteed a home game.
Right. Yeah,
if you don't have a good record, mm-hmm. which I don't like. If you're going to have divisions, then have some value on the division.
I agree.
It is what it is. I know sometimes there's really bad divisions or some team gets screwed because there's 2 good teams in a division and you're really way better than the AFC South team, but, well, they won their division.
Well, would you reseed the playoffs then based on the records instead of the division?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Can I give you this? So I don't really love any of these. There's even one, reseed the wild card teams cross-conference. So the division winners would stay in the AFC and the NFC, but if right. you're a wild card team, you could end up playing in the NFC playoff, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Don't really love that.
So you'd only do it across the conferences. Yeah,
yeah, it's okay. A little weird. Mm-hmm. So I have this idea. If we're going to do this, because I don't want to reseed, I don't mind the Brad, the winner, the way they do it, the one plays the lowest remaining seed, all of that. I'm actually kind of fine with all of it. But there is some opportunity, I'd say, here. Give yourself like a promoter or a board of promoters.
Yeah.
And you know how promoters put together the best card they can?
Yes.
I would like to see that. If we're going to go all in on changing this, do it that. Remember for years people were like, it'd be a shame. Why can't Brady and Manning play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
If you have a great promoter, he would put those two in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the promoter can think about, well, do I want Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson knocking each other out of, or would I rather have Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes this week, the winner of that probably going to play Lamar Jackson next week, so I get all 3 great quarterbacks in a triangular matchup.
But then record doesn't matter at all. Now it's just the whims of the promoter.
I didn't say it was great.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes against what you were just talking about.
But for us as a viewer, as a fan, couldn't that be fun?
Definitely, it'd be fun.
Like, it wasn't really based on seed. It's based on what's the best matchup, what's the best match.
Or what the promoter thinks
right.
the best matchup.
Well, yeah,
it's a subjective thing, so that's going to be tough.
It is, but yeah. I mean,
it's going to piss a lot of people off, is the point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Doesn't that make it better? I'm also a little selfish. So the matchups, last week, the games end on Sunday, and by midnight, the promoter has to have his card together for the next week. That next day, we're talking about the matchups, not only the games that happen, but what the hell was he thinking, putting this team versus this team? We're trying to figure out what he's projecting in the next round. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Vince McMahon's out of work right now, right?
I don't think he's the guy we want.
Probably not, but maybe someone like him. If you could find the Vince McMahon-ish type of guy.
The UFC guy.
Dana White.
Dana White.
Dana White's probably getting the cabinet position with Trump, so I don't think he'll be able to do
Don
it
Don King, dead or alive?
I believe he's no longer with
us. Okay, then he
Don
can't
King,
do it.
No.
Guess we won't have him then.
Don King. Another great guy.
I didn't say he was a great guy. I said promoter.
Some about these promoters.
Well, they're in a
Dana White. Didn't Dana White do something?
He hit his wife.
He hit his wife like on camera, right?
Yeah.
Don King alive.
Don King alive.
Hey, look at that.
93 years young.
Upset alert.
93 years old.
You guys are trying to kill him.
I thought he. I did. I wasn't trying to do anything.
I just assumed he was dead because I haven't seen or heard from him.
Well, maybe because he's 93. Could be it. You know, well, not a lot of 93-year-olds getting a lot of camera time.
They propped up Jimmy Carter on like election day.
They did.
That was bizarre.
That
awful.
Was tough.
That was
awful.
So, that was tough. Such a
that was you
stupid
people.
Decision.
If I'm ever that old, I'm going to ask my family, make sure there's no cameras. Make sure no one ever sees me like that.
Don't prop me up to vote.
I don't need
vote.
Anybody to see that. Yeah, that's fine. 617-779-7937.
So there's you didn't like any
number.
Of them?
You know which one I did like? Letting the teams choose their wild card opponents. The last one he had on the list. I like that one. That way, if he finishes the 2 seed in each conference, you can pick who you want to play. Like, that's cool. I like that idea. It's never going to happen, but I think that was
but it adds value.
Oh,
right?
Totally, yeah.
Because you have the 1 seed that gets the actual bye, and then the 2 seed would be able to do something like that. You're adding value. Could you do it right on down the line? Could the 3 seed pick for?
Yeah, but then the coaches would never want to do it. You know, like there's no way.
But you could have a TV special where
you
zoom them in.
But it's bulletin board material. You're saying, oh, I don't want them. You know,
all right,
like,
get over it.
Well,
get
I'm
over
just saying,
it.
Coaches won't like it.
This is where it gets back to my whole theory that it's entertainment. That it's competition for them. It's life and death for them. For us, it's all about entertainment.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
And that would be fascinating.
But if you pick the team you wanted, then you lose to them. Like, everyone's getting fired.
Like, this is, know?
Like, that
oh,
would
yeah.
be, that would be brutal if that
Well,
was.
I mean, that
would make it more right? interesting. That's why I like it. Awesome. That's the one I like. I'm just saying, there's no way it'll ever happen.
I wish the NFL would go more to these things and be yeah. open. I mean, they kind of do, like, oh, we're taking the draft on the road. Like, my former boss, Fred Kirsch, had this idea. You take the draft on the road,
mm-hmm.
and the if you'd go to some sort of lottery system, and you'd pick the day of. Like, you'd pick the number one pick and say, Patriots, you're on the clock. Like, so the five worst teams wouldn't know who's picking number one overall until you were on the clock when he pulls it out of a hat.
I see.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. It'd be scrambling.
Because everybody, like, we would talk for months that the Patriots are in the running for the number one pick. You're preparing for different scenarios. What if I pick second? What
yeah.
if I pick third?
You have to have a big draft board. But yeah.
And the pressure.
Mm.
Like, now you have, and trades. Trades would have to be, they couldn't be done in advance. I mean,
yeah.
I guess you could do a little talk, but you're on the clock. You'd have to make a trade or a pick, and it'd be fun.
Yeah, that would
you're
be
right.
fun.
The people would hate it. The GMs, the coaches, now because they're in
They'd
the
They'd all
spotlight.
Go insane, yeah.
Todd Bowles couldn't decide whether it was his defensive left or right during his interview. Did you see that the
yeah,
other day?
Yeah, I did see that.
Imagine if he was thrown into the mix of, who do you want to play, Todd? The
Patriots. What was it? It was the Vikings that didn't get their picking on time 1 year?
Oh, yeah, they got skipped. They got skipped.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine how many times that would happen. Just no one gets
Imagine
picked.
If that happened with the number one overall pick. No, I really wanted that guy. Sorry,
wait a minute. Oh, sorry, time's up. You're going to have to go on to the next team. 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, is this a repeat of 2024, what we're seeing here in this offseason? Are things going to go differently? What's going to go differently? Still no offensive coordinator. And, hey, looks like Josh McDaniel's getting some interest from other teams. Mike Giardi just told us that. So did Tommy Curran. We'll get into that. If Josh isn't available, what do they do? We'll talk about that next.